I really feel instructed by the King of Kings to go this way. And for the next few weeks, we will be covering from Philippians. How many knows that growth is a matter of line upon line, precept on precept? How many knows that we need to study the totality of the Word? And this came to me at 3:30 in the morning in prayer, so I knew it was the Lord. Because there ain't no other thing He's speaking at that time. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Are you there? Now, how many knows that the Apostle Paul and Timothy were partners in things of the ministry? Amen. The Apostle Paul was raising him up to really be someone that he could take over in a lot of arenas. Paul knew his goal. He knew that his life would end in Rome. He knew that area would come. But while he was on this planet, one of the greatest things ever he became. Because you could be a great orator. You can know all the mysteries. You could be something fantastic. Have your name in lights. Have all the talent and the ability. But unless you're a servant, you're missing out on the whole ball of wax. And in verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of who? Somebody say servants of Jesus Christ. He's starting this off and making the declaration that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. It's one of the highest callings you could ever have. Now, he was gifted as an apostle, no doubt about it. God used him as an evangelist. But how many knows that you can still have those giftings and still be a servant? Amen. The problem I've seen in Christianity is the more the power gives her operation, the less you become a servant. Oh, I'm preaching now. Your gifting should allow you to serve mankind in a better way, not promote you over them. Oh, see, too many times we can get behind the desk and think we're all that when you're always supposed to be a servant. Oh, no thunderous amens here. Come on, I've seen great things happen, but no matter what, if the Apostle Paul could still declare, I'm a servant, who do we think we are? Say amen. He says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy are listed as that area. In Ephesians 1, you don't have to turn there. In Colossians 1, both of them talk about that the gift of God enabled them, called them. The highest calling ever. Jesus said, if you want to be greatest in my kingdom, learn to be a servant. Of how many?
All.
Now, how many knows all means?
All.
Now, when we come together, should that gifting be in operation?
Yes.
Then today, you're in an arena where you serve all. Can you imagine coming into a fellowship where everyone serves everyone?
Amen.
When you get to heaven, do you think that'll be part of the makeup?
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
Then when do we learn it? Do we learn it when we get there or should it start now? Should that be the arena in which we operate, that we will serve one another? And sometimes serving requires more than just a little bit of effort.
Yes.
Say amen. The highest callings you can have. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Notice he came as a servant. He's done everything that's possible to bring us back to mankind. How can we fall short of that? How can we think that we're above that? I really feel the more that God uses you, the more the servant you need to become. Amen? I believe the best gifts of the Spirit are on the lower shelf. And you don't find those until you humble yourself. Say amen? And here's the truth. Anyone can operate in a certain gift. It takes integrity and character to maintain operating in that gift. Oh, come on. Say amen. Sometimes we're in awe of what people can do when they need to walk it out a long time. Amen. Let's look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I really believe, like in my heart, we need to have that within us. He's saying, I'm starting to think about them. And Romans chapter 1 verse 8 says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. 1 Corinthians 1 4 says, I thank my God always concerning you. I think people should be listed with thanksgiving.
Amen.
And when you think of people, make sure there's a thanksgiving connected to it.
Amen.
Now, some things aren't thankful in the world. I understand it. But aren't people eternal?
Yeah.
We have no right to hold on to anything that may have bummed us out. Oh, nobody's saying amen in here. You're going to find out the Apostle Paul is now giving grace to people that once put him in the stocks. I'll get to that in a minute. He has every right to be upset or look at a group of people and say, you know what? You guys did me wrong in Philippi. But he's looking at him with great grace upon. He's saying, I thank God upon every remembrance. Luther translates this, as often as I think of you, I'm thankful.
Amen.
Can you imagine that coupled in your prayer life? That if you just think about him, Lord, I'm thankful for him.
Yeah.
Now, we don't thank God for every deed. Don't get me wrong. There's balance here. But can I thank God for things? How many of those, if you've ever been wronged, it's probably promoted you to some degree.
Amen.
Yes or no? Something rubbed you the wrong way or something happened to you, probably brought something in you and brought something out of you that was far greater than if it would just stay dormant.
Amen.
Many times the struggles of life get you in that position where you can receive more. Say amen. I believe thanksgiving is a work of the Holy Spirit. Now we know people in the world can be thankful, but when you couple it in prayer, does God deserve our thanks?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He never does anything but good. So we can thank God. So if God created people, he's got that in mind. Amen?
Amen.
If you're taking notes, in Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations.
Amen.
Kind of couples with Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance. When I look at this here, how many of us, there needs to be joy in this?
Yeah.
Come on. When we think of people, look at verse 4. Always in every prayer, I love this, for you, say you, making mention of you in my prayers with joy. Now, if I'm thankful, and I pray for Pastor Galena, Lord, I thank you for her and her life. I want to have it with joy. What happens if you couple joy and thanksgiving with your prayers?
Amen.
How many of us, there's strength in that?
Yeah.
Sometimes we're praying out of agony or out of distress. Shouldn't it be out of a place where, Lord, I thank God for them? Everything on this planet is temporal. When Paul is ministering, he has every right to be upset with these people. Because in Acts chapter 16, if you take notes, 16 through 40, it talks about he would cast out this spirit. And they arrested him. And they threw him in the stocks. And they stripped him there. How many remember the story? Him and Silas sang in the midnight hour and the chains were broken. That was at Philippi. And all of a sudden now he's thanking God for the church that was established in that area. He was put in stocks and he saw very little fruit from his labor, but he thanked God for them. I like to put it this way. He looked upon his trouble as credit, comfort, and a crown. He put a credit, comfort, and a crown. He wasn't ashamed of them, but he received them with joy, just like we need to. Amen? And verse 4 says this, always in every prayer of mine for yours. Notice that it's all and in every. We can't just pray one time for individuals.
Amen.
Keep it in all and every.
Right.
If you're praying for your family, keep it all and every.
Yes. Yes.
If you're dealing with one another, all and every. I believe prayer promotes people, don't you?
Yes.
How many want people promoted in this church?
Amen.
Then pray for them.
Yes.
God will locate who you are. Well, if I pray for them, then I ain't got no time for me. You'll have time for you. The truth is that we need that prayer. It needs to be saturated. It's one thing the early church got right, is that when they had a prayer meeting, they got down and prayed.
Amen?
Amen? The lost art in the church is somebody talking to God. Or after 5 minutes, I'm kind of wore out, I'm done. Amen?
Amen?
Aren't you glad God isn't done after 5 minutes with us?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he has some long-term things?
Amen.
When I look at this verse here, look at couple 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you in every prayer of mine. The idea is a totality. It's like bringing it all together. The best way to describe it is like a confession 3 times over. I thank my God for you. I thank my God for you. Every remembrance of you. Every remembrance of you. It's like it's a repeatable thing. He's saying it's such importance that we do this. Servants will get to this arena. Selfishness will never allow you.
Amen.
So when we go to prayer, it's like, Lord, it's more than once. I thank God for them. I thank God for them. I thank God for them. What if that was your confession over an individual? What if they wronged you? I thank God for them. I thank God for them. I thank God for them. How many of us, we need to get that out of us?
Yes.
It needs to be applied to that area. I believe joy tank can get more filled. You got a certain amount of joy, I believe it can go to another level. It's awful quiet in here.
Amen.
How many want to have that happen in your life?
Yes.
Prayer needs to be prayed with joy, Now it's our, oh, Lord, I got to pray for Beth today. Lord, if I don't hold her up, who knows what will happen in Jesus' name. How many of the Lord will go, what?
Yeah.
Amen. When you get done with that, we'll talk.
Amen.
Now, he hears all things, but you ever thought sometimes the prayers that he hears? Dude, that ain't answering that.
Right.
Come on. How many of you wants to answer your prayers?
Amen.
Well, what if it's like, Lord, I thank you for Beth. I thank you for her life.
Amen.
Every remembrance of her. Lord God, I do it with joy. How many of that intercession becomes powerful? It's the right heart. Paul's saying, I have the right heart to deal with you Philippians. This is the heart that's within me. I don't remember what happened in Acts chapter 16. This is almost 10 years now ago that all of a sudden he had to face that area. So in less than 10 years, he's totally walking in joy and strength.
Amen.
No remembrance of the stocks.
Amen.
Say amen. Can we hold on to anything? No, we can't. We have to release it. Thanksgiving is the fruit on our lips. It's the language of holy joy. We must remember people with thanksgiving. When you think about them, be thankful for them. We're thankful because we actually have an opportunity to serve mankind. Do you know when you pray, you're serving mankind?
Amen.
No one else on the planet is going to do it. You do it.
People
deserve it. You need it. Do it. Look for opportunities. Lord God, I want to pray for them and bless them. Always leave the door open for individuals. Even those you come in contact with. If it ever opens the door, say, hey, listen, if you ever need prayer, let me know. I'll pray for you. That will stick with people like glue. They may never remember anything about it, but they will always remember that. Who's offering that? And when you do it with joy, people can tell. How many ever done something and you were just kind of, I just did it. Okay, I got the task done. But how many ever did it with great joy?
Amen.
Is there more strength than that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a bummer if people prayed? They're always sad sacks praying for you? I mean, it's great they're praying, but let's move out of that arena.
Yeah.
Come on. When we pray for people, it is a source of joy. Look at verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's speaking to them, listen, your fellowship was in the gospel from the first day, now until now. That means that I've been with you on this journey. Our fellowship needs to be in the gospel. Some fellowships are out in the world that are totally ungodly. Come on.
Amen.
When people say, well, I don't need church anymore, Paul's saying your fellowship needs to be in the gospel. And if we're greater than the Apostle Paul, let it me know. But how many of us, our fellowship is in that arena? There's nothing wrong with being connected to the church.
Amen.
Come on, members in particular. Now, I know there are multiple bodies, but listen, more than ever, we see a society just doing its own thing. Well, I got this. I got TV on my phone. I got TV out there. I got my God. I don't need anything else. Well, I guarantee you, you already stunted your growth. That may be a supplement, but that's not fellowship. Amen? I don't care how much that evangelist says, lay your hands on this TV, he's still not touching you.
Amen.
Because it's probably a tape program, so you're getting second rest.
Amen.
Oh. Oh, no, it's new and fresh. No, it's probably taped.
Amen.
So you're getting second day manna. You're getting moldy bread at best. Now, there may be some good principles, but hook yourself up.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because that TV is not going to come visit you when you're sick.
Amen.
Oh, man, I'm just kicking over everything tonight. We need each other. Amen?
Yeah.
Listen, when you go somewhere, listen, it's hard. Sometimes things happen in an instant.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll have health challenges like this, or this went this way. Sometimes we just need, hey, I'm there. I don't understand, but I'm there for you.
Amen?
Amen? How many of you can speak an encouraging word?
Amen.
You can uplift. You can make a difference. We need that. Paul's looking at the Philippians saying, you know what? Every time I think of you, I have joy and thanksgiving. And from the beginning, I remember when we met. And now it's some 10 years later, and we're still together in this.
Amen.
Come on. Make your relationships long-term. Say amen.
Amen.
Just don't come and go. Plant yourself. Grow in grace. Learn. Mature in those areas. You have something to say. If you're taking notes, Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. It talks about James and Cephas and John. They were pillars in the faith. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, Paul said, make full proof of your ministry, glorifying God in abundance in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more we serve the Lord, the more that we realize that we have a common salvation. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. I look at this common salvation. Last year, little Shiloh, which she's about five or six? She's seven now? I remember when she came up to me and said, Pastor Tom, I have to say this to you. So I got on one knee and I looked her in the eyes. She says, you know what? I don't do anything until I talk to Jesus in the morning.
Amen.
And I looked at her and I says, man, you're more godly than I am.
Amen.
How many knows we need that to come forth from our little ones?
Yes.
We have to promote that area. Because that's the greatest thing ever. They have a genuine, like, precious faith.
Yes.
2 Peter 1:1. When I look at that, I need that. As our fellowship today in the gospel. Well, I hope it is from the first day until now. The other day I had a flashback of Ron and Dawn's parents when they were here alive. And I remember her mother just coming and saying, you know what, you're going to church, we're going to church. That's the way it is, we're going to church. And she was so like, well, that's just a matter of fact. And it's just like a very short time, it seemed like I knew them forever. How many knows the Lord was doing something? Never take it for granted people's seasons in their lives either.
Yes.
Because you may step into something that the Lord's already been working on for enjoyment during that time. Say amen.
Amen.
All of us need it. When we've had fellowship, never get tired of your fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Is God good? Say God's good. When I look together, do we have like precious faith? Look at verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. Pastor Mark talked a little bit about this. That he which begun a good work in you will what?
Complete.
Somebody say complete.
Complete.
I like projects that are done. Because there's a lot of things that started. Now my wife has a honey-do list. And in my home, I have to have her write it down and make it plain. Because you can say, hey, can you fix this? Can you fix this? Can you do this? Can you do this? I need it plain. Amen?
Amen?
So I have her look, type it out for me, and then I can check it off. I can't do them all at once, but I'll get to them. Some of them have been waiting for a time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're all perfect in here. Amen? But sooner or later, they'll get done. Every one of them. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes it's just in an instant.
Amen.
If I can keep her from going over to Michael and getting more doors that are filling my garage up, that'll be great. Oh, this can be a table. This can be a thing. So, I think Michael just get that out of here. Amen? But being confident that he which begun, we should be thankful and joyful because it builds confidence. If I'm walking in an arena of joy and thanksgiving, you know what? You can have confidence. When we lose both of those, our confidence begins to wane. He says, every mention of you, this very thing. Listen, what God's begun in you, he'll complete it. Paul had eyes of faith over the Philippians saying, you know what? In 10 years, I've seen a work. And if you continue, God will complete it right up into glory. Your completion won't happen until you're in glory. No matter how much you obtain here, your completion won't be till you get that new glorified body, which is likened unto Christ. But notice, God will complete your salvation. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That one day I will be complete, lacking no good thing.
Amen.
And what I like about heaven is that our flesh will not be tempted no more. All that is gone. That former thing has passed away. All things become new. That's why every day there, it's like you never think about, well, I just went another day. I just went another day. No, you're there. The clocks are unwound. They're broken. They're gone. You're now home.
Amen.
That's why 1,000 years can seem like, well, just like a moment.
Right.
And I really appreciate about my mother. She spoke that to me and I never forgot it in my life. You'll blink and I'll be there. Talking about me.
Amen.
Isn't that how it is in eternity? That'll be the reality. I'm older now than my mom when she was alive.
Amen.
But it'll be a blink and we'll be there. That's what it's like. But the people there are joyful, aren't they?
They're content, aren't they? They're confident, aren't they? Paul's saying, he which begun, I begun this in you, I want to complete it. When he spoke to the Galatians, he said, listen, you started in the spirit, but now you're trying to perfect it in the flesh. Can't do it. What God's done in the spirit, keep it in the spirit. That means your flesh needs to be crucified, just like mine. It resurrects every single day. Amen. But Paul's looking at him, verse 6, being confident is the very thing, that he which begun a good work will complete it until that day. It's comforting to know that God will work. And when you're confident in it, God will work in them and through them. His confidence rested totally on God and nothing else. Amen. Shouldn't that where our salvation should be?
Right,
how much time do you spend bathing in that word? How much time do you put that renewing of your mind? Sometimes we can get in those things where we just kind of move along. Yeah, we're saved. Yeah, we're filled with the Spirit. But it needs to have that fresh infilling, that fresh revelation coming from the King.
Amen.
And believe me, it's for you first, then others. Lord, I need this. I need this. And when you got that down, then you can hand it off to somebody else.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul learned that journey. And now I can look at him like this, and here's his outlook. I casted out a spirit. They threw me in jail in the stocks, mistreated me. But it wasn't a mistreating at all. I was learning what God wanted for me.
Amen.
I was laying down my life.
Amen.
Say amen. And now he looked at the church like, that's the least I can do. I'd do it all over again with great joy and strength. Do you see, when they begin to sing in prison, it wasn't because they weren't hurting or a nasty environment. But what was in them was joy and thanksgiving.
Right.
How many of you can go through just about anything with that in your heart?
Yeah.
And if you're confident God will see you through, listen, how many of you can't be beat?
Amen.
I really feel, this is my own personal opinion, that when you're approaching the sunset years of your life, and you're asking the Lord about your life, I believe he'll be honest with you concerning you.
Amen.
I've seen it over and over. If you belong to the Lord, how many knows your life's in his hands?
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean sudden things can happen. I've seen it happen. I've had a pastor friend fall off a ladder, break his neck, and died. I'm like, dude, what's up with that? How many knows it takes about a millisecond to hit the ground? But the truth is that God will keep you. He will uphold you. And if we're in communion with him, how many knows that? I want to have a good journey.
Amen.
I'm like all of you. I live in a body that is subject to things. Amen? Have you ever twisted your ankle before?
Amen.
Hurt yourself? Did this? The other day I smashed my finger in my own car door. What a stupid thing is that? Amen? I was trying to get the window to work, and I was messing with the thing, and the wind just, like, oh. How many ever felt that thing where it starts to throb inside? Am I talking to anybody? And then you look at it and go, oh, thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, says, praying for you always with all supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication. I love this. I'm being watchful, I'm in the Spirit, and I'm praying accordingly. How can I be beat?
Amen.
Paul said, I'm confident in this. When God's begun a good work, he'll finish it. And one day, you'll be the prize of heaven.
Amen.
Can you imagine? You're going to like how you become. Even you'll be, dude, this is sweet. You don't have to worry about having your clothes tailored. God will fit it for you.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
He knows your home, what you like. It's going to be decked out and furnished.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? You'll walk into a completed project, and you yourself will be in that arena.
Amen.
But Paul's saying, listen, you want to be great? Start with a servant attitude.
Right.
And if you got a servant attitude, the first thing you're going to start doing is praying for somebody else.
Amen.
And if you're going to pray for somebody else, what is your attitude like doing it? You can do it grouchy. You can do it as a grump. But isn't it better to do it what's right?
Amen.
If you know God's going to complete it, then don't jack with it for somebody else.
Amen.
Don't throw a wrench in their salvation.
I used to tell the young people, don't mess with people's food or their salvation. Don't mess with either one. Amen?
Amen.
When I look at God, He's going to finish what He starts. But it's not a single blow. It's not like poof and you're there. But it's a gradual development, step by step. There'll be elevation sometimes. There'll be declines and struggles. You'll have it with and without. But God will make you for something great in eternity. And if you're on that journey, you know what? You'll become what God wants you to. That's good news. Amen? It's like bringing that back from distorted to restoration. Years ago, cars, you know, when they got totaled, they scrapped them out. Now, if a car gets totaled, you can really look at it and say that it still can be rebuilt. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Well, even if you seem like you were totaled in the world, some of you were totaled, some of you were stoned, all right?
Amen.
But God can still rebuild you.
Yeah.
But you don't know how far you're going to be rebuilt till you start coming back. There's always hidden things in there that needs to be dealt with. The Apostle Paul saw that firsthand. And now he can stand before the church and say, you know what? I was once in jail, once in prison for preaching the gospel, but I still do it with joy and strength to you Philippians. I love that. Could you face those who once persecuted you? I wonder, maybe the Philippian jailer was in that church that day. Remember he fell down and said, what?
Yeah.
What must I do? Don't harm yourself. We're all here. Who knows who was there? Who knows what those things? It goes deeper. When you're long term, things get deeper. Oh, I can preach that too. When we look at eternity, it's planned. Eternity is planned out. It's preserved for us. But as long as the world stands, you know what? There's a process of change.
Yeah.
Amen? I know this for a fact, that Christ's work will continue until the mystery is finished.
Amen.
Amen? When God finishes the work, it's a good work.
Yeah.
It's a finished work. We had this neighbor just around the corner, about a half mile from us, and he had this scaffold. Ever since we moved in the house, and we've been there about 2 years now in the fall, this guy had scaffolding up by his house. And he just left it up. And I'd see him work on this side, then, you know, a few months later, you work on this side. Well, he's been doing it for 2 years. There's been scaffolding next to his house. And he finally got around to the last side. I drove by, and it looked like he was out there working. I thought, man, he only got a little bit left. He's going to finish it. And I was happy for the guy. Never met him before. I was happy for him. And all of a sudden, I came down to one board that was this long. I could tell he ran out of material. He had one piece left. He had this two-story scaffolding up, and he only had a three-foot board to put up. And I told Lynn, I go, you know what? I know what that is. He got it all, and it was a little bit short.
Yeah.
So he had to go find one more piece, paint it the color of the house, because he had that wood slat siding, and finish it. Amen? Well, the other day on Saturday, I drove by, and I saw him nailing the last piece up for 2 years. And he had his whole family out there. And I didn't hear all the conversation, but I could tell they were all like this. And I could see the wife's face. She's like, yes, amen. It's done. He was proud of it. And she was like, dude, it's about time, amen. But the truth is, that's how it works. And me just driving by, I just saw that unfold in front of me. And now the guy took the scaffolding down. Hopefully he didn't rent it for 2 years. That'd be quite a bill. But the truth is, it came to completion. Man, when I see you in heaven, I'm going to be happy with you. It came to completion. Do we want to stay on that road? Do we want to be in that area? Because you could be sour grapes and be a Christian. But man, I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in my arena. Lord, I want to do this with joy and thanksgiving. And if I'm going to pray for people upon every remembrance. That means if there's any thought contrary, no, upon every remembrance, Lord, I thank you for them. Amen?
Yeah.
Even if it's been a wrong thing, Lord, I'm sure it helped my character somewhere. Help me, Lord. I thank you for the remembrance. The jail never hurt Paul.
Amen.
Come on. When I look at our nature is sinful. The deeds are sinful, but God gives us life. Ephesians 2:1 says, He made us alive when we were dead in our trespasses. Cool. That means I got new life within me. Amen. Are you enjoying tonight?
Amen.
When we're going to go through this whole book of Philippians. We're not tonight. But we're going to go through this. And I had a target where I'm going to go. I'm going to have one more thing here. Look at verse 6. And being confident of this very thing. He which begun a good and work in you will complete it until what day? Until the day of Jesus Christ. One day the church will be brought to him and it'll be completion.
Amen.
And what I love about this is that there's so much room at the throne. It isn't this small place like this platform that all of a sudden you're going to see God sitting there and it's like, well, I'm sorry, can you kind of make a little room over there? Okay, you guys got to bunch in. No, the throne is so vast and it is so high that all of heaven is viewed towards it. That when you look, you'll see the throne. It isn't a little place. It's huge. There's a room for everyone there.
Amen.
And that's your place. No one will be going, well, I should be closer to Jesus, so let me jump 3 rows up. Or you shouldn't be there. You should be back there because you just got saved and now you're here. The servant says, it doesn't matter where I'm at. Are you comfortable?
Amen.
Come on. It's no longer the hierarchy of what we think here. Much of that Christianity is all flesh to God. Paul never promoted himself above anyone. He made himself humble like a servant. And he proved it by his prayer time. He proved it by his conversation. We too also need that.
Yeah.
There needs to be a new humility in the kingdom of God to come across. Yeah. That we humble ourselves. And it becomes work to be a servant.
Yeah.
But that's our goal, is to serve.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm preaching now. I know this from the throne. That if you want to be great, here's the proving ground.
Yeah.
What we know in our little ideas, God's not impressed with.
Amen?
Amen? The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he sits on the throne.
Right.
Amen? But people just aren't up there just giving orders. Okay, you go do this, you go do this, you go do this. No, they're still serving. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, it's good heaven. When do we learn? We learn it now. Paul speaks in this area in confidence. Each one of us need to be confident with this also. Hallelujah. Say God is good. Amen. And I'm going to stop here. We got a lot to cover yet, but I'm going to stop with this here. I want to ask you here, how many have some stuff you still need to work on? Okay. How many here have some areas where, like, you know, you're learning to get out of selfishness, but sometimes that it just kind of rises up. We get the me going there. Anybody else? How many need to see that God, what he begun, he's able to finish?
Yeah.
Can we start to look at all the things that have happened to us, even the negative things or the hurtful things that we can say, you know what? I can pray for them with joy and peace. How many knows that takes character? He could look at the Philippians and say, you know what? Once I was in jail here. I was in prison here.
Amen.
But now God established a work here and I'm thankful for it. I bet in his body he still bore the marks of it.
Oh, yeah.
But I thank God upon every remembrance. If you're going to pray, have that in your heart.
Yeah.
Upon every remembrance with joy and confidence. If you know God's going to finish the work, man, have that in people's lives.
Yeah.
The world will be a better place if the church speaks that over individuals.
Amen.
Bring them to completion, God. Do that work until the end. If they stay in the process, how many knows it makes a difference?
Amen.
Now, when I was a kid, I built a model. I had different kind of models. And sometimes I would read the instructions, and sometimes I knew it all. I remember one time I put the body on the car, and I forgot to put the steering wheel in there. And the steering wheel was bigger than the opening where the window went. I mean, those super glue holds a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
I end up breaking the model to get the steering wheel, so I ruined the whole car. Don't put the steering wheel on until you got it. Amen?
Amen?
Don't put the body on until the steering wheel's in.
Amen.
I mean, the superstructure can't be built till the foundation's laid.
Amen.
The church needs to go back to these foundations. Brick upon brick. We all want to be the superstructure. Look at me, I'm awesome! But every tree and every building needs a foundation.
Amen.
Roots deep or solid cement. Sometime in your life, I'm going to speak this as reality, the storms are going to blow. But I pray you'll lose a shingle and not a wall. It's easy to repair that. And dare I say, if the wall falls down, make sure they still got a good foundation.
Amen.
My concern is much of the church is built on the sand. It's built on emotional-based Christianity. It's built on, well, I know a little bit, but I don't know enough to really make it. When the storms come, how are people going to stand? Stand firm. Stand upon the promises. Amen?
Amen.
And when God comes, it'll divert out of the way. It's solid. It's strong. I mean, you won't be blown down. Everyone has a choice on how they build. Build it right. Is this good tonight? Can we be that church?
Amen.
Then we need to put to practice the beginning of these verses. How are we praying? What attitude are we going to have with it? I agree with you. Amen?
Amen.
And what servanthood are we going to lay out in our lives?
Amen.
Well, let me be this. And when a thought comes contrary, no, I'll revert back to what is good.
Amen.
Joy and thanksgiving gives you confidence. I'm going to walk in that. And a confident believer in his God cannot be beat.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
It's like you know that you know that you know.
Amen.
It's just you know. I know heaven's my home. I know it.
Yeah.
I know my sins are forgiven. No matter what anybody says, I have met the King of Kings. I can't lie. He's real. Then who am I to say he's real? I'm going to live for him.
Amen.
That quiet confidence works deep within you. Amen? If you're going to pray for one another, do it this way. Well, we'll continue in this series on Wednesday nights. And hopefully it'll be beneficial as we learn through the Philippian book. Amen?
Right.
Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, help us to apply, Lord God, what we've learned. That, Lord, with joy and thanksgiving, we'll speak that in prayer for them. Upon every remembrance, that, Lord, what you begun, you'll finish. Lord, we have that quiet confidence within us. That, Lord, as Paul wrote, I'm a servant with Timothy to the church of Philippi. The city in which I was imprisoned, I'm now a servant to. Help us, Lord, that when we're mistreated, that we can become a servant to it. To see it blessed, Lord God. To see the change, that the years will work out far greater weight of glory. Father, work it within us. Now make it your own personal prayer. Whatever the Lord is speaking and dropping in your spirit, make that your personal prayer. If he's revealing something to you, if he's speaking some change, make that, solidify that in your spirit, because that's your meat today. Lord, bless your people as they go. And Lord, continue to move, Lord Jesus. Lord, for our children, finish what you've started. Bless this VBS program. Bless our young people, Lord Jesus. Move in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.